Hello, my finest friends. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Here's a joke from my son. What did the bum say to the other bum? That's a bummer. You know, not for everyone. Look, thanks to everyone who's come to see the previews of Can I Have My Ball Back? It's been going really, really well, and I'm really pleased with how the show's turning out. It's officially on tour now from Wednesday. I'll be at the Leicester Square Theatre. A couple of tickets left. Lots of press coming to that one. It'd be lovely to sell out, but there are a few other London gigs not selling as well. So if you're going to come to London, maybe look up those other London gigs. And then this week I'll be in St Albans on Thursday, Gloucester on Friday, Chorley on Saturday, which is sold out, but you can join the waiting list, and Glasgow on Sunday. Two shows. I think the earlier show is sold out. Check with the venue, but the later show has some availability. Come along if you can. If you enjoy these podcasts and like them being free, then the great way to pay me back is to buy a ticket to a show or buy a download or a book from gofasterstripe.com. But you can just keep listening for free as well. That pays me back also. So, you know, no pressure. But I'd love to see you there. If you just know me from the podcast and don't know me as a stand-up, I'm pretty good as a stand-up. It's a good show. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's only made about seven men faint so far. So, you know, are you brave enough to take the challenge? Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy whichever podcast you're listening to now.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, Northampton. Welcome to the Royal. Please welcome a man whose son has attempted to emulate Captain Blood. It's Richard Herring. Thanks so much. You're much better than last week's audience. God, those guys. Those guys. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leveling Spratton Totally podcast. Just gonna take the whole place down. Start from scratch. Don't think anyone will notice or care. Don't really know where Spratton is. When I wrote that, I thought, it'd be bad if there's been some terrible tragedy there recently. The audience goes, oh, how dare you. Seems it's all right. But I was on the Althorp estate the other day, and the ghost of Lady Diana said she called it Rella's person. How dare you boo Lady Diana? Someone hissed Lady the Man. How dare you? She was a candle in the wind, literally. It's a very respectful... There's no more respectful thing than being the person who says Rella's to pass. Thank you. I've been reading the Northampton Chronicle again this week, and a driver arrested after he was caught behind wheel leaving court where he had just been disqualified. That's the big news in Northampton. You've got to admire Chutzpah for that one. That's amazing. What I really liked about this story is the driver's first name was Euclid. Northampton is, it's got a long history, and people are still being named after Greek mathematicians. That's how ancient Greek mathematicians. My son, Captain Blood, you may know, attempted and successfully stole the crown jewels. We went to the Tower of London last Sunday, and we saw the crown jewels. They're quite well guarded. But my son had found a jewel in his, like a plastic bit of toy jewellery
in his bedroom, and he took it to school to do a show and tell about his visit to Pudding Lane in Tower of London and told his classmates that he'd stolen it from the Crown Jewels. And they believed that he said it was a diamond. It was a purple thing, massive purple thing. It's a diamond. They were going, wow, it's a real diamond. And he stole it from the Crown Jewels, which I like. But Ed Gamble pointed out that he was both collecting stones and committing a crime, and his mother does drunk women solving crime. He was probably drunk when he did it as well. So the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, is all I will say. But look, we're going to crack straight on. We've got a brilliant guest for you this week. She is probably best known... so well known for this that I don't even have to look it up. She's probably best known for playing Nikki in I Live With Models. She was also a butch lesbian in an ad for a Jim Norton special. No idea what any of those words mean. Will you please welcome the incredible Abigailiah Shaman, ladies and gentlemen. Abigail Shaman. I did it. More or less. Lovely to see you. How are you doing? Hello. It's the most unshowbiz name, and I admire you for this.
Yeah.
Because it's difficult to... This is two difficult words to say.
Right. That's... I didn't plan ahead when it came to showbiz. It's funny, because all of my social media, everyone, is just my first name. It's nothing else. So it's just at Abigailiah on abigailiah.com. My email is... Abigailiah. It's easy to find me if you can spell it. And that's the thing. I've had so many comedians be like, oh, I bet you get so many followers after shows because your name's so specific. And I'm like, no one fucking knows where to go with it. I think it's easy. I think it's phonetic. Yeah. But everyone's like, nope, wouldn't have guessed that.
No, well, some people would choose to change it and call themselves Abby S or something like that.
Yeah, no, I did. My name's Abigail.
Right.
I went the other direction.
Okay.
So I'll explain this very briefly. And the reason why I want to do this briefly is because, one, I've explained it 1,000 times and no one fucking listens to the story. And two, I once did someone's podcast where for 30 of the minutes they tried to explain to me that I changed my own name for showbiz reasons and I had to keep telling them no. It was my first... I've never been mansplained my own origin story before. Anyway, so Abigailiah is a nickname I got. I did not make it up. This is where people get confused. It's a nickname I got at summer camp. I went to one of those summer camps they have in America where you like make dream catchers and talk about saving the earth. Like, before Greta Thunberg was doing it, I was in Colorado, freaking recycling, man. I was on top of it. And one of the camp counselors thought it would be fun to give everyone names. And she named me Abigailiah. Mm-hmm. And I was 11. So I was like, I'll be taking that back to Ohio. Thank you. And then I made all of my teachers and all of my friends and everyone call me Abigailiah. And now I turn 38 on Sunday or Saturday, so it's been my name for longer than it hasn't been my name now.
Right, sounds good. It's a beautiful name.
Thank you.
Don't change it to something more complicated.
No, I won't. Just put a random X in it, just for fun. But yeah,
oh, it's lovely. Look, tell us about playing Nikki in I Live With Models.
I got that shortly after moving to London Town. It was my first acting gig. I got when I moved here, and I think it's been my only one since. So I nailed it. So Nikki was a director. There was a short-lived Comedy Central sitcom called I Live With Models. Right. And believe it or not, I was not cast as a model. I was cast as a director of a commercial. And the whole thing was shot at Pinewood, but the whole story takes place in America. So the two leads, they flew over from America to shoot. I'm pretty sure I got the role because I have an authentic accent. I think that was the bar. And but I got to be at Pinewood Studios for a day, which was very exciting. And I played a director. And it was a sitcom, but, I mean, in the loosest sense of the word. I mean, you had to really think, like, was that funny? But all of my lines moved the story forward, so I knew I wouldn't be cut out of it.
That's good. Well, there was definitely a situation. The situation's even in the title, so yeah. It's at least a sit. So we can't deny it was a sit.
It was a sit.
So yeah,
it was a sit.
There was a sit, and it was a great. Imagine it. I live. It's that sort of like Man About the House.
Yeah, it was about this guy who gets discovered. He's a barista, and he gets discovered while he's being a barista for having beautiful hands. So he becomes a hand model, and he lives with all of these women who are real body face models. So it's this average man living with these beautiful women. Oh, that's my gosh.
That's
so
what happens, right? If you're a hand model, they go, well, you have to come and live with other models. That's just the way it is.
That is 100% how it works.
And what's this butch lesbian in it? What's
see,
the Jim Norton?
I thought
who's Jim
you
Norton?
Know who he is.
Who's Jim
but
Norton?
But I forget. Jim Norton's a comedian based in New York who's quite famous in American comedy. Okay. And so he had this comedy special come out called Offended, I think. And the whole commercial promo was someone being like, I'm a this, and I'm offended by Jim Norton. So I was a lesbian, and I was offended by Jim Norton. And he, if you go back into his back catalog, he's been canceled several times. He lives up to the hype, but he's still going. He's in fact, a couple years ago, he came over to Britain, and I got to be his tour support.
Okay.
And I really like his comedy. Like he is offensive, but I think he's a funny guy. And I was so excited to meet him because years before I even became a comedian, I was in his commercial. And I shook his hand. I was like, I was in the Epix commercial with the other thing. And he was just like, yeah, cool. Like, just could not give a shit. I was like, and now look, we're both here in London. And now I'm a comedian. And you're, you know, playing Leicester Square Theater. I don't know if you've heard of it. But, he just did not care. I was like, oh, never. He's not, I wouldn't say never meet your heroes because he's not my hero, but never meet someone you mildly respect.
Well, I think that's interesting as well because there is, you know, you do get, it doesn't happen to everyone and some people stay engaged all the time, but there's a level that people get to where they sort of become like, not, but a little bored of the process or,
yeah,
you know, of all of that.
And, I mean, he's not like, famous. No. He's about you famous.
Okay. But in America, that's quite big,
which
though.
Is
you
quite
know, if you're big. That this famous in a really massive place, yeah. There's more people.
Yeah, there's nothing like being asked to be on a podcast, be so excited to be on it because I'm a fan of your podcast. And then to see a tweet go out being like, anyone want to come to Northampton? Numbers are low. I'm like, thanks. Thanks, Richard. I kept him away. Private viewing.
I can only blame myself. I can
but,
only blame myself.
Like it's that thing though of his producers like basically assigned me to a show. He didn't pick me as an opener.
Right,
sometimes when comedians have tour supports, they bring on their mates. Sometimes someone gets hired in by like the producers. And so he didn't know who I was. And it was very much like he was there to do a job, and I was there to do. But he had no interest in talking comedy with me.
No,
you know?
I think that's some people they don't get to that level, but of just feeling disenchanted with it all. But it's I think it's especially funny when you see someone puppishly excited.
Yeah.
Come up against that,
yeah.
You know, that stone wall of I've done this too long.
I'm
no longer interested. Yeah.
This is one of those where I came off stage and he's like, sounded good. I'm like, oh, you didn't even watch it. Like you don't even care anymore. But it was a lovely time. He was a perfectly nice person, just disinterested.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And jet lagged, to be fair. He was very tired.
And something you told me about, which I don't know this story, so I'll be interested to find out. You claim you won a Grammy in high school.
Yeah. No big deal, guys. That is true, technically. So the Grammy Foundation passes out Grammys to schools in America for, like, excellence in their musical education program. and Greenville, Ohio, Greenville High School, where I went to school, got one in 2001 when I entered the program. So, like, I'm the one who won it because they didn't get it before I started at the choral high school program as a choralier. And so I definitely won it for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very cool. They get you don't get like this Grammy statue though, which I thought would be cool. It, you know, as all schools do, it's in a glass case with all the sports awards, and it's a plaque, and it's got the plaque has a picture of the Grammy statue on it. But yeah, I come from a Grammy award winning.
You can put it on your poster for Edinburgh. That's all that matters.
I mean, every once in a while, like I told you, I hate my bio. That's on my website and what my agent sends out because they wrote it. And I don't care about anything that's on it. And at one point, we were having an argument about a credit that's on it. I say that in quotation marks because I don't think it's a credit. And she was like, well, we need something there. We have to put something there. And I was like, well, if we're going to go that far back, it's basically a new act competition that I was a finalist in. Right. The only one I ever entered before I moved to London. So long ago. I'm like, that's really sad to say you're a finalist when you're, that's your one credit. Like, and she, I was like, well, then let's mention the Grammy. If we're going to go back to, like, credits that don't make any sense or don't matter, let's talk about the fucking Grammy. But yeah, I have one.
I think we gigged together. It, correct me if I'm wrong about this, but we did a gig, and it was a charity gig about sex. I can't remember what it was, but
good question. I can't remember what it was.
I can't remember what the charity was.
But Love Honey was one of their sponsors.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
So as a thank you, we all got a bag full of sex toys. I thought it was great.
I mean, I was going to say, I'm an extremely vanilla person.
Okay.
I'm excited. I thought, I bet you enjoyed having
every
those sex toys.
Every single one of them. Yeah, no, they're nice. They're nice. I mean, I don't have those ones anymore. You have to upgrade over the years. I don't know.
Do they run out if you... get dirty?
But you also, like, you know, I have a partner. Yep. Me and my partner, we've been together now for 9 years. So, like, I'm not switching out my dicks. So I switch out...
Yeah,
my drawer of dicks.
Okay.
Just to change it up a bit. You guys got very uncomfortable with that. I thought that was quite funny. Yeah. Northampton was like, oh, well. Now we know why the ticket sales were low.
I gave some of them away, and there was one...
You gave them away?
Yeah, but not with unused.
Yeah, of course.
There's one I held on to.
Which one?
But I still haven't used it, but I'm waiting for the moment. There was like a...
This was, by the way, at least 8 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. There's one I've still got, which is like a curly blue that it curls round.
Okay. By the way, I was told the bags for men and women were different, so I might not have had this.
I don't think you would have necessarily had this. Okay. I think it was to insert into one's bottom area. Through the anal passage.
It was like a
curly blue cock, but it was curled. It was curled around like that, about that thick. It looked interesting. I thought one day I'll be.
Is anyone else picturing like a Porky Pig corkscrew that you just kind of like wind up in?
It's not quite that. It's just like I reckon you would say. I don't even know what to do with it.
I really wish you'd brought it.
Yeah, I should have brought it. I didn't think. I just remembered when I was on the way here, and then I could have given it to someone in the audience because it hasn't been in my anus. I don't really fancy that too much. But there's a part of me that fancies it enough that I held on to it.
There is a pressure center up there for you. There is.
Well, that's what I thought. I know there is.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know
if you've never explored that.
I'm not prepared to go on the journey to find it.
I mean, I can talk you through it. Whatever you do, if you do it, lube. You have to use lube. Someone just went, yeah! Because it's a part of your body that doesn't self-lubricate. Yeah. And if you
don't know my anal canal.
You should see a doctor for that. But if you use lube, it can be a very pleasurable thing. And take your time. Don't force anything up there.
I'll ring you up when it's up there and let you know.
Take a bath. Listen to some India. Relax.
It's up there, Hapaglia. Yeah. I'm not enjoying it. I was right. I'm not really enjoying it. look, I've watched all. You've got three specials.
I do. Well, I have two secrets? Out.
Yeah.
One, actually, see, you told me this will probably come out in April.
Yeah.
So here's my goal, to either have this third one either fucking filmed or about to be filmed by April, because I wrote it. I did it in Edinburgh last year, 2022.
Right.
And I still haven't filmed it. But my partner Tom is a cinematographer, and we're talking about comedy specials. And there's so many ways to do them. But a lot of times, Tom said, when people do comedy specials that aren't in big theaters, that are in like the Bill Murray, where I have done a comedy special, and you can buy it at apogalia.com if you can spell it. it just feels like, oh, this is supposed to be in a bigger room, but it's not for some reason.
Right.
So for this one, fingers crossed, this is why we haven't done it yet, we want to film it in a courtroom.
Okay.
We want to film it in a courtroom.
Yeah.
And I'll be like in the galley pretending, like, you know how the lawyer gives a closing statement?
I do.
Like,
yeah. Well, I've seen like a preview version of it, I guess.
That you've got. Yeah, so you know the story.
But it's a surprising story in a lot of ways, because
we can give away any spoilers, because we won't give much away, but it
is a great it's a great hour, and it's a great Edinburgh show, I'm sure, because it's, you know, you've got a great story, and even though it should be pretty apparent what the outcome is, it's about whether you're allowed to stay in the country, and you're doing it in the country, so there's sort of a spoiler there.
Yeah,
but equally, everyone when it's revealed that you are staying in the country, people are still surprised. So it's
so interesting, because I did it in Edinburgh, and I thought, okay, maybe people in Edinburgh wouldn't know, because you can fly over, there's a visa exemption to do it in Edinburgh. Long story short, me and my partner applied for a partnership visa. It got denied. We had to go to court to argue against the Home Office, and. Even leading up to previews, like, people wept. It's the first time I ever wrote an Edinburgh show that people wept at. So I was like, oh, maybe this will be my year to win. I didn't. It's fine. I'm over it. But, people just were like, is she going to get to stay? And I'm like, I'm in Essex doing a preview. Like, it worked out. But it was a very scary time.
Yeah, it's interesting, and because it's about, you know, the immigration to our country and the hoops you have to jump through, and obviously the differences there would be as well if you weren't an American and you weren't a white American.
Yeah.
Perhaps, you know. So, but I think also the stuff about you just having to go abroad every 3 months so that you could come back into the country, so you could do this cheeky was legally cheeky.
Yeah.
So there's a legally cheeky way of going in and out of the country to come back.
Again, spoiler alert, there used to be these 3-month work permits for actors and entertainers and comedians. And several of us who are American were on them for years. And all you had to do was leave the country and re-enter. And that's how we lived here. Was you just go to like Brussels for a day and then come back and now you're a resident again. And that's illegal now. They closed that loophole. I did that.
Well done.
I did that. Now that's, they still have the permit, but now you can't just renew it for 7 years.
It did seem a silly loophole, but well done for exploiting it. And,
well, no problem. And I'd like to thank Brexit for making them crack down on all immigration laws to get rid of that one. Everyone told me it wouldn't fucking touch me because I'm a white American woman. They're like, you won't have any problems living in the UK. And boy, howdy did I.
Yeah. Well, you know, but when you're in a relationship with someone who's... you're in a relationship with an English guy.
Yes.
And so it just seems insane that that's not like straight through there. You know, I can understand they have to take precautions against people just pretending to be in relationships and green carding it. It makes a good film, though. But lovely romantic comedy. But when you've clearly been with it now for 9 years, or whatever you said, but it was obviously a good period of time that you were with together, so it wasn't a scam.
Yeah, no. And when we went to court, my lawyer, who is also a stand-up comedian, that is true. Her name is Sakisa, and she was like, I'll do this for free. And she was just going to help me with the paperwork. And then we had to go to court, so she fucking signed up for more than she meant to. But she was like, it was such a kangaroo court, because usually at immigration hearings, when they're questioning the validity of a partnership visa, which is what I have, they're questioning the validity of the partnership.
Yeah.
And usually they'll have one of the couple leave while the other one answers questions and vice versa. And they didn't do any of that for us. The judge just asked my lawyer, Sakisa, like loads of questions. Didn't question me, didn't question Tom. And she was like, that's unheard of. That it was clearly just like, we're going through the motions because they picked yours to deny.
Yeah.
So, but I won, so fuck them.
When you get married, you have to go in and do a little test as well to prove that you really know each other.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you go into the county hall, and I got my wife's birthday wrong, which is they only asked me like three questions. I got it the wrong day, and they said no. And went, no.
But that
proves that you're real.
Tom is really bad with dates too. Yeah. So before we went into court, I was like, you cannot fuck this up. You have to know my birthday, which is very easy. It's 11/11. But like he's not a numbers person, and I'm like, how long have we been together? When was our first date? When did you move in? Like I'm going through our entire catalog, quizzing him. Anyways,
the key is to get it wrong, because that's what real relationships
do. That's true.
So only someone who's studied would get their potential wife's birthday correct.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
But look, there's all three. Three. What the other two that you can buy already?
Yeah.
A terrific Namaste Bitches and Namaste Bitches.
Namaste Bitches.
Do you know who I think I am? Is that right?
Do you know who I think I am? Yeah.
So you were through this. I learned that you were kind of started off in musical theatre. Really?
Yeah. That's what I went to school for.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this. I won a Grammy.
I do know that. Yeah.
High school. That's how good I was. I don't really sing anymore. I've developed vocal nodules from whiskey and shouting. And so I don't have, like, the upper range I used to, and I also have no reason to sing. There's no longer a song in my heart. But yeah, so a lot of people ask me if I still sing and not in a professional capacity.
No, but that's an interesting way to go. And it's sort of, does it affect your stand-up, these nodules? Is it kind of, I mean, you're obviously still...
I lose my voice very quickly.
Yeah.
I lose, that happens a lot faster for me than other people. And again, I went to school for theater, so it's not like I don't have a back catalog of exercises and things to make myself better, but I rather just walk on and fuck the microphone. Like, that's how I like to do it. But as far as it affecting the vocal nodules affecting my stand-up, I lose my voice quickly. Yeah. And I sound like this now. A lot of times people are like, I love your husky voice. And I'm like, for a long time, I was like, oh, I just sound like this because I just got done with the festival. And now I realize this is how I sound all the time. So my voice is deeper than it used to be.
Can you have an operation? People have had operations
You can. I went to a doctor to talk about it once, and then I didn't go back. You can. Mine at the time were quite small. So they could have done it. But it's not causing me any, like, long-term problems right now. Basically, vocal nodules, for those of you who don't know what it is your vocal cords are like two little cords in your throat that just kind of vibrate back and forth. And it's like having a callus on one of them. And so when you speak, the vibration, more air gets through the vocal cord passage, and it can cause huskiness and it's harder to create certain sounds.
Yeah. I mean, you know, your voice is your instrument, regardless of whether you're a musician. But I guess there's loads of interesting things from the stand-up, but I think, you know, I wonder whether how different things are coming from America and the stand-up scene in America, because it's you're so confident and sure of yourself on stage, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah.
But it's kind of not... a very British. I know it's not a very British thing, is it, to have that confidence? But there's something that therefore makes it very exciting and attractive, I think. But
thank you. I think, like, in the age of social media, it's maybe not to have a confident demeanor on stage. But I remember when I first came over to do the Edinburgh Fringe again. This is when I still lived in New York. I put on whichever social media was the one that was happening at the time, something like, just crush my show, man, yeah. And a friend of mine, Andrew O'Neill, they pulled me aside and was like, hey, we don't really do that. Like, and I was like, what do you mean? It's like, they were like, you can't just talk about how great you are. Like, people are going to make fun of you if you do that. And now I see it all the time on social media and stuff. So I think with like Netflix and people being able to see more comedy from different parts of the world, certain styles are crossing over. But I mean, I don't know if every American stand-up comedian presents as confidently as I do as a stage persona. Like Mike Birbiglia, who you interviewed, Mike Birbiglia bounds on stage with confidence and, like, you know, like, Tig Notaro has a presence.
Yeah.
Has a beautiful presence on stage, but I don't think it's that, like one would say, like, this, like, confidence, like, look at me sort of thing.
No, but I think it's... You know, more people should be like it, you know, and especially probably British people. But it is that confidence in yourself and the belief in yourself. And
do you not have it?
I don't have it.
How old are you?
I'm very old. 50,
How long
56
have you been
old.
Doing this for?
35 years.
Okay, so I was 3 when you started comedy, and you still don't believe in yourself?
I'm not.
Get your fucking shit together, man. If you believed in yourself, this would have sold out. By the way.
No one can do it in Northampton. No one can. It's impossible.
I mean, there's something, though, too, and this is a real bugbear of mine. And no offense. Richard,
no, I'm none taken.
But when I hear someone be like, oh, you're so confident when you're on stage. Another stand-up comedian performer is like, oh, I can't. It's always a white man. And no offense, some of my best friends are white men.
I'm not confident enough to. I'm not confident enough to be offended. It's fine.
Yeah. But they're always like, oh, you know, I just couldn't do that because, you know, I'm just a white middle-class man and who cares what I have to say, so I'm not confident at all. I'm like, well, then get the fuck off the stage. Like, people have paid tickets to see a show which you are performing on, and if you don't think you have anything of value or worth or joy or whatever you're trying to give to a room, then get the fuck out of my way. Like, no, I am not famous. And do you know how mad I am about how many people are like, oh, you know, I just accidentally do a comedy. I'm like, go fuck yourself. You're as confident as I am. You just pretend you're not.
But I don't know. It's also about the, you know, it's very hard to say it in like in a way that isn't stupid. But it's being, you know, happy in yourself. And confident in yourself, and it's kind of, you've got a real fuck you, this is who I am,
yeah.
And I don't give a fuck what you think about that, which is what everyone should have. Like, it's, everyone right. should have that.
I will say that is a facade. I hate myself. I don't know. I don't think about it that much. I do, like, I don't think I'm going out on stage with, like, this, like, you fucking take it or leave it, guys. But there is a very much like, this is me and these are my stories, so this is what you get. And I'm not going to apologize for it.
No.
I'm going to give people the best show I can give. And then as far as like the exuding confidence, it, you know, for those listening on the podcast, I've dyed my hair blue. I have sparkly shoes, and that's just enough to distract people. Like, that's what people think confidence is, but that's really just what I've done instead of getting a personality.
Well, I don't think that's true. But equally, I think society's become to this sort of real, and it's happened in the last 20 or 30 years, it's sort of a weird place where people expect people to look in a certain way, and if they don't look in that certain way, that they should hide away or be ashamed or whatever. Yeah. And that's, you know, and that's...
Why do you think you and people I both, think I should
you,
hide
you
away?
You and I both look like normal people.
Thank you.
I'm short Thank and you. Fat and, you know...
And I'm average height but also fat is what he's trying not to say. But it's
But
okay.
you're not, you know, so you don't conform to that stereotype.
Yeah, no, I know what
and
you
so,
mean.
And so therefore to see somebody on stage and saying, this is what I am
yeah.
And be glamorous and be, you know, and be confident is a very important thing is all I'm really saying.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that compliment. And maybe one day you too can be confident and unapologetically yourself.
Okay, I'll
think
try.
In another 33 years.
33. I'm going to come on and go, this is who I am.
Is it? No. Yeah.
And if you don't like it.
Get out. But I don't feel like, I don't know, maybe I am that combative on stage, but I don't. I'm unapologetic, but I don't think I'm like, you fucking take it. Like, you know, I don't know.
I just, you know, I think more people, like, not just on stage, but in life, that should be it. Because, you know, we all are whoever we are.
Yeah.
And there's a few things you can do.
Yeah.
You know, as you say, you can dye your hair, you can, you know,
yeah.
I'm on a diet at the moment, I can lose some weight.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, you know, that is peripheral stuff. It doesn't matter about what's inside you. And so you can only do a certain amount and... The real thing to do is to go, hey, none of that shit matters. It doesn't matter, and we're human beings, and this is what human beings are like, the vast array of humanity.
Everyone should have permission to unapologetically take up space in their own lives.
Yeah.
And, I think that's important. I agree.
Yeah, yeah, good.
Good. We've solved that problem.
We've sorted
on to the next.
It's all good. I like the fact that you talk, again, it's talking about, you talk very openly about your private life, about your partner as well.
Oh, God, Tom has been through it. I talk a lot about Tom. Any questions?
Presumably he's okay with that.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's a couple of jokes where you go, he wrote that joke and you're furious that it gets a big laugh.
Yeah. So sometimes he helps me. He'll come with me with notes about my comedy. And listen, I don't think he's going to listen. So I'll tell you guys, I think he's actually got some good ideas. But we call it the jokes folder, which is a pretend little filing cabinet I have that's actually a trash can where I put... you won't know about this, but so when Tom and I started dating, he kept telling me how easy comedy would be. And he doesn't remember me saying this, but I did. I said, well, fine, I'm going to get you on a show, and you're going to do comedy. Okay. So Tom Tuck is a friend of ours who did a show in Edinburgh called Tomfoolery, where the name of the game was you had to be Tom to get on the bill. And so when my boyfriend Tom came to visit, I booked him onto Tom Tuck's show. It's a free friend show. And Tom, my boyfriend, took it so fucking seriously. He was like writing jokes. He was calling me. He was reciting them. And I didn't want him to get like booed or anything. But you know what it's like when you just have an audience politely go, good try. Like, that's what I wanted him to experience. And then, it was 5 minutes. And I thought this would be so funny to book him on the show where he'd bomb. And he's reciting that now we're in Edinburgh and he's reciting his jokes to me in the flat. And I'm like, what have I done? I'm the worst girlfriend. And then we walk down to the show and we're running into all of our comedy friends. And they're just looking at me like, Abigail, what the fuck are you doing to this man? You're like leading him to the gallows. Like, why have you booked this nice man who loves you on a show to show him a lesson? And our friends came to watch Tom do... did they come to my fucking show? No. But they came to see Tom do stand-up, and he got on stage and he fucking killed. He did so good. It was so frustrating. He got 3 applause breaks in a 5-minute set.
Okay.
And he had that thing of, you know, when you walk off stage, especially like you got the high adrenaline first time. So he's just like, he gets off and he's like, oh, like just like can't focus. He's like, I was like, it was amazing, Tom. You got 3 applause breaks. And he looks at me and goes, only 3? Hasn't done comedy since. Hasn't done it since.
Go out on a high. That's what you do. Do it once, 100%.
But I will say his way of getting back at me was he wrote a joke about how your girlfriend, me, is a stand-up comedian and writes all these jokes about how crazy and amazing your sex life is and how you're swinging from the chandeliers and it's naughty and it's dirty and it's sexy and it's... And then Steve Bennett gives your sex life a 3-star review. I got a snort. I'll let Tom know. But yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, he's never done comedy and he's probably never had sex, so he's allowed to give reviews. Sorry, Steve, I know you've had sex on your own. So it's fun. It's fun.
Very nice man.
Listen.
With the blog.
And you, I didn't know, I you were a yoga teacher.
Yeah, I was.
I didn't realise, I mean, maybe I should have realised this because when you were talking about it, I suddenly realised that I probably had heard this. But I didn't realise Bikram was a person.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a person.
Bikram Rug, I just thought it was a stupid name for hot yoga.
No, his name's Bikram Chowdhury, and I have met him.
Yeah.
And no, he didn't to me. But for those of you who don't know, there was a Netflix documentary that came out that was spurred from a Vanity Fair article that came out years before. So by the time the Netflix documentary came out, the whole Bikram community knew about this and dealt with this, and we had moved on, and then... Netflix documentary came out and we had to deal with it again. Mostly people who don't do yoga asking us about Bikram. But he was, what is the word? It's not charged, but there were civil cases against him for sexual assault, of him assaulting his female students, which I believe he did. So he was my guru, and I used to teach his yoga, so boy do I know how to pick him.
It's another fascinating, and there could, I mean, it sort of is a large part of that show, but it's
yeah
but it's an interesting to have gone through.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked my yoga teaching experience. I started practicing right when I moved to New York when I was 18. I was going to acting school, and I was so addicted to hot yoga. I would take yoga before school. So I'd take like 6 a.m. classes and then go to dance class all day. I was in great shape. And hated my body, though. Didn't know any better. Now I'm fatter than I've ever been. I fucking am enjoying it. But I loved it. I met so many great people as a yoga teacher, both other yoga teachers and students. It was a really great time in my life and a very formative time in my life because I did it all through my 20s. And now I don't really teach anymore. And it's one of those things I'm really glad I did.
Yeah.
What sucks is the figurehead of that specific yoga was a bad man. And because he was such a bad person, it affected everyone else underneath him that didn't have anything to do with him. And it was weird because, like, you know, all of a sudden Bikram Yoga Studios aren't calling themselves Bikram Yoga Studios and everyone's starting to teach a different series, which I think is totally cool and right on and, like, live your own journey and do your own yoga. But we were all kind of like, oh, you're like if you go anywhere in the world, you're a comedian, I'm a comedian. And there's this bond. We kind of had that as Bikram yoga teachers. And now that's gone. That's fractured.
Yeah, it is. You know, and like the fact that it is named after him, as you say, just if it was just called anything else, it wouldn't matter.
Exactly.
If it was just called Very Hot Yoga.
Yeah.
A stupid place to do yoga.
Yeah,
if it was just called that.
Yeah, then a very smelly room to do yoga in. Yeah.
One of my ex. It was funny. I was going to mention this ex-girlfriend because she, towards the end of our relationship, she was a journalist, but she suddenly started doing stand-up open spots.
Oh, really?
And I was obviously an established comedian, and I just had to go to loads of comedy clubs.
Were you her plus one at a
bringer? I would go and see her, and I would go, but then it was just like a really awkward experience, and it felt like she was going, you know, I could do this, anyone could do this, and she gave it up pretty quickly.
Good for her.
But it was one of the things that made me think, yeah, I don't know if I want to.
I think confidence, like we said, is very important in people. I think it's very important in all of you who came to the show. I, however, don't think we need any more comedians.
We do not need any more.
We are Richard and I have discussed it. We are no longer hiring.
It's full. She did Bikram yoga as well, so there you go. So maybe there's something in that combination.
Yeah.
that's dangerous. Let me ask you some emergency questions before... I'm going to ask you a would-you-rather question before we've got a little bit of time.
Yeah, we're doing great.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of time.
We're doing great.
We'll be fine. I'm going to go random in these. We'll see what happens. Would you rather, you know, just you get what you get. Yeah. Would you rather go Tenpin bowling or be the Prime Minister of the Central African Republic? And there is a stipulation. NB, if you were Prime Minister of the Central African Republic, you would be banned from playing Tenpin bowling. Also, if you choose bowling, then you're agreeing you'll never be permitted to be the Prime Minister of the Central African Republic.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know a lot about African politics. No. So I feel like this is an easy one.
Might be fun for you to just launch yourself into the troubled area of the Central African Republic.
I feel like if I've learned from any American presidents in my recent past, if you just give it a go.
Yeah.
You know, you can say anything and you can even be voted out and run again.
Yeah.
From jail.
Yeah. That is incredible. It's a wonderful country.
Yeah, it's great. I think the responsible side of me says, obviously, I'd rather go 10-pin bowling. Okay. But the irresponsible part of me is like, yeah, this is what they need, a white woman to run Africa. Which country is it in Africa?
Central African Republic.
Republic, yeah.
It's a good pointless answer. Yeah. Nearly everything.
I was on pointless. I was on Celebrity Pointless, but they haven't aired my episode yet, which we filmed over a year ago.
Yeah, it takes a long time.
Yeah, I mean, you said this will be out in April. This is freaking quick.
It's quick.
Because I have been waiting to talk about Celebrity Pointless, and I can't talk about it yet.
Yeah, I had the same thing. I've done it four times.
Four times.
But then I lost the first three times. I got one stage further every time, but the fourth one... I was with Les Dennis, lovely Les Dennis, and we won and we got the jackpot. But then it didn't go out. It was over. We did it just before COVID. It was right at the end of 2019, maybe the start of 2020. And then it didn't go out for like maybe 2 years. And so I wasn't able to tell people.
I was talking to a showrunner, and they do what you're doing, which is they just bank so many. Yeah, yeah. They'll just film a bazillion and then slowly release them.
It's incredible, though, isn't it, to think that the channel has such confidence in that show that they can say, we've got enough for 2 years.
Yeah.
It's going to be on for 2 years. No one's going to come in and take this shit off. No.
No.
It's a great show, by the way.
It's fabulous.
I'd speak as someone with a pointless celebrity trophy, which you may have, but you can't talk about it, so I still win.
I was only on the show once, though, so you never know.
Yeah, very bad. Right, we'll do one more. You might not understand that one. Okay, I'm going to go for this. This is a child-friendly book, by the way, this Would You Rather. The one my editor insisted that everything had to be family-friendly. One question I put in was, we might find it, but would you rather be lost at sea or sucked off by a tornado?
I know that one with that question.
And she said, I think accidentally you could read that in a different way.
If we're supposed to... I've been cursing this whole time. Is that a problem?
No, we're allowed to swear in this, but just in this book. They want to make this book. Would you rather have an extra thumb on each hand? I saw someone who invented a thing where they could put an extra thumb on both hands. Mm-hmm. Think about it. So it's on the other side of your hand. It'd be there and there.
So it'd be on the pinky side.
So you can come in either side and you can grip things
on
your thumb.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good.
It's great for text.
Or be able to shoot poo out of your bum like a cannon. Good book, child friendly. I mean, maybe you can do that. I'm presupposing you can't do that.
I mean, the thing is if I'm Prime Minister of the Central Republic of Africa.
Yeah.
I might need to safeguard myself and my country.
Yeah.
So therefore, as a person who cares about their citizens, I have to be able to shoot bum out. Excuse me, bum. I have to be able to shoot poop out of my bum like a cannon.
I mean, it would be good.
I think it will help.
Okay. But imagine being able to do that.
I can do that now with both hands. An extra thumb would be useful, I think.
I can't think now. When I wrote this, I knew what was good about having an extra thumb. I can't really think what would be that good about it.
I mean, texting, right, and picking up stuff, and, you know, you could hold bigger things.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I like the hands I got.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, the answer is sun cream.
Good.
Can you shoot poo out of your bum at will, or is it just like
whatever happens? Because actually, if you just go to the toilet and it always shoots up like a cannon, you're going to get through a lot of toilets.
Yeah.
So we haven't thought about that. Though equally, I suppose if you could do it, you would just stick your ass out of a window and let
it go.
Yeah.
Let it go.
And then just whoever it lands on. They're not that accurate, I don't think, cannons, are they? So it would go in a
general
direction.
No, but I would practice. I would get good at it.
Yeah, it'd be a nice thing. It might be a fun thing to be hit by a turd.
No, it wouldn't. It would be disgusting. Yeah. It'd ruin anyone's day.
Yeah, maybe. Might
you have children. You've been shat on before.
I have.
Did you ever think, yay? Bit of fun.
Yeah, it'd been a cannon. They said they wee like a cannon, the boys. That's quite good fun. You'd lose that ability, though, as you get older.
That's good to know.
Looking at the young lad. I don't know why I'm looking at you. You lose that ability. If a grown man can't talk to a 13-year-old boy about how rapid his urine is, we're living in a sick world. If I can't just innocently ask about that in Northampton. look, there's the what else that I want to talk about? I have to say, they do go to ABILOGIAH.
Oh, you did that wrong.
I didn't.
Wait, did you say G?
No, ABILOGIAH. Abigailiah.
Yeah, but the way you're doing it makes it sound weird. A-B-I-G-O-L.
Abigailiah. Oh, yeah, I did do it wrong.
Okay,
Abigailiah I had. Yeah. Fuck, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Well, I was so worried about pronouncing it that I didn't write it down properly.
Your penmanship is awful. No, Abigailiah, A-B-I-G-O-L-I-A-H. You can follow me on any social media. Instagram would be best right now because my agent's like, get to 10,000 followers. So if everyone in this room could follow me, I'll be 3,000 off. Also, I have a podcast.
Yeah, I was just about to bring it.
That I do with my buddy Joe Wells, amazing comedian. You'd love him. You should have him on the show. Have you met Joe?
I haven't. Oh,
you'd love him.
Joe.
Very smart. He's the guy who brings the intelligence to our podcast. You'd like him. It'd be a much better interview than this. it's called Neurodivergent Moments, and I have ADHD. Joe is autistic, and we talk to other neurodivergent people about their brains being different, our brains being different. So we've had on, like, Angela Barnes. We just did one with Shappy Corsandi, Harriet Dyer, which you've listened to that one. Rufus Hound, Andrew O'Neill, just tons of people.
I mean, it's basically I'm the only comedian who can't go on that.
Because you don't have...
Yeah, I'm absolutely bang straight down.
Yeah, no,
right down the middle, completely.
That's what... Those socks are screaming neurotypical. When I look at you, I think there is a man who everything in his life is organized and nothing takes effort for him.
Well, you have a rich cast of potential guests, I think, for that show, as increasingly.
What's fun is when I email someone, because I'm in charge of booking, so sometimes I'll email someone asking them to be on the podcast, and they'll tell me they're not. And I'm like, you might want to get that checked out, because I'm pretty sure you are.
Yes, well, you know, it's great that all of our minds and brains work in different ways.
Yeah,
and it's fun. I think it is what makes a lot of comedians who they are.
Yeah.
And so it is, you know, it is an important thing. And a lot of scientists who they are and whatever in different ways, isn't it? It's the wonder of human variety once again.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And, you can end up just in the middle, just, I mean, obviously very human, sexually attractive, but apart from...
I totally lost your train of thought
me too.
There.
It's like, you know, it's late at night. And,
it's 20 minutes till 10 p.m. So late.
It's very late for an old man with two young children. Never do it. Never have your children, if you're going to have them, have them.
I'm never going to have them.
You never that say decision, never.
Nope. Nope. I turned 38 on Saturday, so I think I have maybe 3 more days before my eggs dry up. And I'm just like, fucking yes, yes, yes.
Don't do it if you don't want to do it.
I don't want to do it.
That's definitely...
I don't want to do it. My partner doesn't want to do it. We've discussed it. But every once in a while, someone will be like, you might change your mind. And I'm like, I don't think so at this point.
Well, look, thank you so much for going on the podcast. Good luck. Do go and listen to Abigailiah's podcast as well. Please get up the amazing Abigailiah Shalman. I've got it the wrong way around. I've got it the wrong way around in my head.
You did good.
Thank you. You have been listening to Rahulastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Abigailiah Shalman. The music is by Scant Regard. Thank you. I'm indebted to my friend, Chris Evans, not that one, to his son, Ben Evans, not that one, to all his many children. They're too numerous to mention. It would take an hour or two to get through them all. Thank you also to Beck Cliff and George Lingford and everyone at the Royal in Northampton. This is Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Thanks again for listening to the podcast. richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs for all of the information on the tour. gofasterstripe.com for lots of downloads and books and lots of fun. Thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your friends about the tour. I love you all. I'm out.